Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back. It's 3:08. Jordana Green, Paul Douglas. Hope you had an awesome weekend on a beautiful, beautiful Monday. Fantastic day. So I hope you're feeling good. I hope you're healthy. I hope all is well in your world. Paul, great show yesterday.
Happy Mother's Day, Jor. I hope you had a good day yesterday.
Thank you. It was terrific. Even though it was gloomy, we had so much fun. We went out to Tommy's Tonka Trolley. I don't know if anybody has been out there, but it's right on
Excelsior
Bay.
Yeah.
They have Sebastian Joe's ice cream. Yeah, in Excelsior. So that's sort of a little tradition. So we went out there. I love it out there. When it's warm enough, you know, there's kayaks and all that good stuff. But we just got some ice cream in the cold and came back home. Did Lori have a good Mother's Day? I'm sure she was missing her sons, but very excited about the future with her new grandson.
Yeah, we're very excited. We're getting the house ready for my oldest son and his bride and our grandson to come back from Seattle here in a few weeks. So we're fixated on that. And I, boy, I'll tell you what a great husband I am. I ordered out pizza yesterday for dinner. Nothing like Mother's Day pizza.
Oh,
and it was good.
You're really good.
It was good.
You're really good.
Hey,
yeah.
I'm in my bunker, Jor, and I know you're home. We're trying to stay safe.
I
still go out, just for the record. I do go into shops, and when I do go into shops, I wear a mask. I see no downside. It's like wearing a seatbelt. If you can take some steps to be a little safer, why wouldn't you? And protect other people in the process. But I feel like I'm safer in my bunker than the president is in the West Wing right now. It is amazing what is happening in Washington, D.C., and I think it presents the mother of all messaging challenges. Because on the one hand, the president wants to reassure the nation and reopen the nation and try to get the economy back on track, and yet when you've got people testing positive in the West Wing of the White House, it makes it hard. Mike Pence, his press secretary, tested positive. Anthony Fauci, of course, we all know Dr. Fauci went into self-quarantine. Senator Lamar Alexander of Tennessee in self-quarantine. Admiral Michael Gilday, he's the chief of naval operations, is also self-quarantining. Of course, you heard that the president's personal valet, the vice president's spokeswoman, Katie Miller, and Ivanka Trump's personal assistant all tested positive for COVID-19. Nearly a dozen Secret Service agents have tested positive, and apparently they've been ordered to wear masks if they're likely to come into contact with President Trump. And again, it's a long list. Robert Redfield, head of the CDC. Self-quarantining. Stephen Hahn, head of the FDA, self-quarantining. So it's a real challenge right now. And the thought running through my mind is, if we can't keep the West Wing of the White House safe and virus-free, how on earth do we keep any business free? Now, granted, the West Wing has more people coming in and out than most businesses. And yet, if you do run a restaurant or even a retail operation, you're going to have a lot of people coming in and out. It's different than a traditional office building. So You know, here's my thought, and I don't have an answer to this, but I do worry about the health of the president and the vice president, and I would think that we would do everything in our power to keep both of those individuals safe. If the virus has breached the president's inner sanctum, the most highly secured workplace on the planet, how can it be safe for anybody to return to the office with a high degree of confidence? That's what's running through my mind. I've got three weather businesses, got about 30, 35 people, and I want to be able to say, hey, come on back, all of you. It's safe. It's fine. Come on, let's go. But I really struggle with this. And as I mentioned yesterday on the Sunday morning show, Jor, I think we have to give each other space and grace. And what works for me, mm-hmm. my company, mm-hmm. my business, my life may not work for you. And that's okay. Let's just give each other the space and not judge other people for the decisions they make, unless those people are putting all of us in harm's way, unless they're endangering right. all of us. That's the only thought I have going through my mind.
You know, and it's interesting, too, because testing isn't the being and end all, because we know the people around the president have been tested a lot. And even he said that 4 days ago, that valet, that person who was tested positive that he's been near, had tested negative. And then all of a sudden, one day, he's positive. I'm sure these people are doing the best they can with self-quarantine. They're in physical contact with the president. So I'm sure they're being watched, or they have strict guidelines that they have to adhere to. It also goes to show how fluid the virus is. We're not sure how it spreads. We're not sure you know, how contagious it is and how, exactly how everybody gets it. But there are so many unknowns and uncertainties. So it kind of gives everything pause right now. Excellent. But we wish everybody in the White House well. I mean, they should mm-hmm. only recover and be healthy, no doubt. It shouldn't be a problem at all.
Yep.
When we get back, your teenagers may be suffering, and not just because they can't see their friends. You know, this is pretty heady stuff for a teenager. We're going to speak with Susan Nygaard. She is the manager of the at Alina Health of Community Health Improvement. Talk specifically about teens and this pandemic and what you can do as a parent next. 319, Jordana and Paul, David at the helm. Thank you for joining us on a beautiful, beautiful Monday. Boy, the sun is out. Little vitamin D does wonders for the soul and the emotional well-being. So if you have teenagers or small kids, they may be having a harder time that they're leading on. Sure, they were really excited when school was canceled. Oh my gosh, it's a big win. But they kind of like school, and they definitely like seeing their friends. How is your teenager or your tween or even your elementary school kid and their well-being during this pandemic? Alina Health has seen a 160% increase in the use of their virtual mental health and wellness tools. My local school district is offering this for kids as well. There's plenty of links and resources the kids can click on, but often parents don't realize that the kids might be suffering. Susan Nygaard is the manager of Community Health Improvement. She's joining us now to talk about seeing the signs and what you can do to help your teen. She's joining us on the Home Service Plus hotline. Susan, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So this is an interesting one because teens are often sullen, you know, they're hormonal. I have three in their teens, well, aging 12 to 16. Two are girls, so I know all about hormones. How do you know if there's something related to the pandemic or something worse going on than just regular teen behavior?
You know, we're all under stress right now. Whether you're in middle school, high school, a parent, or even a grandparent, life is stressful right now. There's a lot of unknown and uncertainty. How you respond to stress is important, and it can make a big difference. We each respond a bit differently, so knowing your child and how they normally react to different things will help you determine, you know, how they're managing the stress. Many of us, you know, feel it emotionally or mentally. Others feel stress as physical, such as a headache, a change in appetite, or trouble sleeping. So just taking a daily check-in with your teens to find out how they're doing is really helpful this time of year.
Susan, I remember that old saying, you don't scare me, I have teenage daughters.
I feel that way.
I remember. But my, you know, my teenage sons had some tough moments and periods of angst. So, I mean, it's rough growing up, even during relatively good times. I can't imagine you've got stress upon stress, and it's the uncertainty. It's the not knowing. When will we be back in school? Will there be summer camp? Will we be able to do A, B, and C? In light of this extreme uncertainty, what are some best practices, some things that you found over the years that can help to lower stress and anxiety levels, not just for teens, but for all of us?
That's a really good question. We can benefit from all this just as well as the teen can, that's for sure. You know, the Align Health has created a couple different websites, the Change to Chill and the Health Power Kids. And so even before this pandemic hit, we've been using these resources with schools, community groups, and parents and grandparents alike. And so what we've done is actually worked with teenagers to help us come up with content and really tapping into what is life like for them and what would be helpful for them to help identify stress and then build their resilience through different tools. So on the Change to Chill website, on the homepage, there's a 5-question quiz, and there's no right or wrong answer. But by answering those 5 questions, you yourself as a parent, a guardian, or the teen themselves will help identify how you respond to stress. And then once you've answered those 5 questions, it tells you 3 areas within the website that we suggest you check out based on how you identify with the stress and able to get some help that way. So that's one way to start working on that. But I agree. I mean, I've got 2 boys myself. I'm 1 of 3 girls. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a boy, girl, or otherwise. It just, it is a very challenging world that we're living in now. And just being able to be there for them, support them, let them know that you're also feeling stressed and some uncertainty. And so just sharing some of those feelings back and forth with them can be very helpful.
Susan, I'm always a day late and a dollar short. Can you give me the website one more time where parents can go in and answer those questions?
Yep. Change to Chill. So the word change, chill.org.
Got it. Got it. Thank you.
Susan, I'm always on the fence as a parent of teenagers as to how much to share of my own angst or stress, because you want to empathize with them. But I don't want them to think that I don't have this, that I'm not in control, or that, you know, I have their back. But this is a time where parents are very uncertain. You know, we don't know what's going to happen this summer. We don't know if this is going to pass. We don't know when. We don't know that we're not going to get sick. So how do you effectively communicate that with your kid? How much is okay to tell them about your own fear?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. We don't want to evoke more fear in what's going on right now. But I think, yes, you know, letting it be known that there are a lot of unanswered questions. There's a lot of uncertainty. But what we do know is, you know, that we're going to focus on today. We're going to focus on what we do have control over. We're going to focus on trying to get a normal schedule as we possibly can. Really schedule some things out. We're going to try to get, you know, good nutrition, some exercise, some sleep. Some of those things that can help the body overall respond well when stress does arise. And so trying to, you know, really focus on some of the basic needs that we have, and then also letting them know that, you know, what are they seeing? Is it through social media or what have you heard? So trying to get their pulse on what they're experiencing, compare it to yours, and then try to talk through some of those details, depending on how old they are. But again, not trying to invoke any more fear for what they're already going through right now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Susan, I found it's good to go over the do's and the don'ts. What is the biggest mistake that you see, no matter how well-intentioned? What's the biggest mistake that parents make right now during these times of extreme stress?
Overreacting, I would say. Tuning into too many different news stories, conflicting information. There isn't enough scientific proof on much of what's, you know, out there right now. So overreacting, I guess, would be the main thing, and trying to stay calm yourself and let people know that, you know, this is hard. We've never been through this before. I'm not comfortable with some of it, but just kind of realizing that, but then also, you know, not overreacting, not going to extreme.
Okay.
Susan Nygaard, we're so grateful for the expertise that you've brought to us today. She is the manager of community health improvement at Alina Health. And once again, the website was change2chill, right? change2chill.org. You can get a lot of information, start a conversation with your kid, and get some tools. We really appreciate the time, Susan.
Yeah, thanks so much. Thank you, Susan. You bet.
This is a real tough one, I tell you, because I try to make time even to talk to my kids. It's shocking how busy we all are, even though we're all in the same house all the time and nobody's going anywhere. but it's a very uncertain time. And as a mother, I think, okay, all right, I'm going to bring this up to them, but I don't want to freak them out. Maybe they're fine with it and I don't want to make it worse. I mean, you're always second guessing yourself as a parent anyway. But then you think, all right, no, maybe I do need, you know, we need to talk about this more. If they are afraid, they need to tell me their fears. But as a parent, you can't allay them because we don't have the answers. And it's just a hard space to be in right now.
But I think even just, and what do I know? But I think just the act of listening is important, right? I mean, not lecturing, mm-hmm. not saying, right. Hey, I've got the answer key, but just listening to people's fears and their anxieties. I think just let it out, right? Let people talk about what's keeping them up at night. So that's
what it is. That's what, and sometimes you don't have to say anything. As a parent, I think we're wired to give advice, you know, to offer something or say it's going to be okay. But right. I think that's learning for us parents. You know, we can just hug and just say, I know that you're hurting right now or you're afraid.
Our faith can help, and mm-hmm. deep breathing, being in the moment, meditation, and a meditation moment from Jordana Green is coming up. That, and it's looking better and better for Major League Baseball. A shorter season, but I wouldn't rule it out yet. That's next.
Hey, Jerry. Wanted to bust in here and welcome you back. We missed you, buddy.
Yeah.
Was I gone?
This mystery guy. The mystery guy. Jerry. Oh,
I'm behind door number three.
Yeah.
Well, we heard you in the morning doing the weather, so that was always good. But we missed you, and we're glad you're back on our show doing the traffic, because that gives us a sense that there might be traffic, that people are going places.
Yeah, it's starting to look a little bit that way.
You had some stuff to talk about, so a little bit.
Good to have you back, man. It's good to have you back with us in the afternoon. It's another step towards normalcy, and I don't think any of us will ever take normal for granted again, JP, and it's our God-given right as Americans to complain about the traffic. We know you don't make it. It's like the weather
traffic
guy, right?
Traffic and the weather go hand in hand.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, which is worse, but welcome back in the afternoon.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us again.
Good to be Jerry. Back.
Thanks, JP.
Excellent. Jerry can breathe along with us. Fantastic. Today is less of a breathing exercise and more of a meditation learning that we're doing today. So, with all of the breathing exercises that I have taught you over these past 2 months, I just want you to pick one and do it. Mostly just sit in a comfortable place and think about your breath. And because we had this last segment talking about emotional well-being and your teenagers and negative thinking, I'd like you to pick one thing in your mind that you're going to release yourself from, at least for the moment while we're breathing, or hopefully forever. It could be financial insecurity during this time. It could be uncertainty about the future. It can be negativity about politics. Pick something that is weighing on you, focus on it, and then focus on releasing it with your out breath. So breathe in, think about the thing you're about to release, and release that negative thought. Breathe in again. Whatever you'd like to release, just send it out. Let's do it one more time together. Take a nice deep breath in. It's going away. Just one negative thought. I know you've probably had a few of these last few months. And release it. Sometimes it is truly as easy as that. Send it out on a cloud. That's what I tell my children. Bad dream, you send it out on a cloud. It's not in your head anymore. You can do that with thoughts too. So I hope it helped.
Out on a cloud. I'm going to steal that.
On a cloud.
Thank you, Jor.
Mm-hmm.
Jor, do you like working from home? Be honest.
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
You don't miss the commute. I mean, who misses their
commute?
I miss
you guys. I miss being in the same room with you guys. I miss the energy we have together. It's definitely not the same when we're home, but I do. I like being right here when the show's over so I can make dinner for the kid. The kids come and visit me in and out. I like it.
Some people are thriving working from home, and about a third of us, one in three roughly, have the ability the capability of working from home, 1 in 3. And again, for some, it's more like house arrest. Others, it's like, yeah, this isn't so bad. But I find it interesting. There is a dark side of working from home. And it doesn't get a lot of attention. It should get more attention. We're all fixated on our physical health and COVID-19, rightfully so. We need to spend just as much time on our mental health. My son works for Salesforce out in Seattle. Mark Benioff, the CEO of Salesforce, says 36% of his employees, tens of thousands of employees, 36% have been having mental health issues during the lockdown. Some of the problem is anxiety provoked by the pandemic. Some of this, Jor, is the burden of caring for kids out of school and as well as elderly vulnerable parents, sometimes at the same time. Some of it is domestic issues. In a piece written for the publication Fortune, Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg and her LeanIn co-founder Rachel Thomas said the problem is very pronounced among women. Homeschooling kids and caring for sick or elderly relatives during the pandemic is creating a double shift. It's pushing many women to the breaking point. They found 1 in 4 women say they are experiencing severe anxiety with physical symptoms like a racing heartbeat. 1 in 10 men say the same. And get this, almost 50% of all women are currently struggling with sleep issues, a real concern. And a survey done by Brookings Institution found that almost 1 in 5 women say they're going hungry. One in five are going hungry, a rate far worse than back in 2008 at the height of the global financial crisis. So, you know, just a lot of concerns, a lot of woe right now. Yeah.
That is extraordinary. It's hard to breathe that out. That is sad and terrible news. I feel very sad about that. Hopefully they can reach out to some of the services like Susan Nygaard at Alina Health that we had earlier on the show. Those services are available nationwide because they're online.
Here we are, the richest nation in the world. Among mothers with young children, 1 in 5 are going to bed hungry. And so, you know, Second Harvest, I mean, all the food banks and all of the people that are trying to help and provide that safety net. And no state in America does it better, I think, than Minnesota, having that safety net. But nobody should be going to bed hungry right now. Just
my little nugget's going to lighten things up a little
bit.
Please. I don't know if you've seen what is currently happening in Florida. Actually, an hour or two ago, a group of protesters, or at least this was posted online, a group of protesters was gathered outside the Pinellas County Courthouse calling for gyms to reopen in the state of Florida. Obviously, the governor closed a lot of the gyms, and the executive order did not reopen them in the first phase of the reopening. 20 to 30 people were outside the gym, or excuse me, outside the courthouse, calling for it to reopen. But here's the catch. They were doing push-ups and sit-ups and squats, and they were demonstrating how it is just as easy to do a workout outside on the sidewalk as it is in the gym. Now, I know it's Florida, and there's just a lot of really off folks down there. But this is exactly the opposite of what they were trying to do. You are demonstrating how you don't really need a gym because you can do squats on the sidewalk, and you can do push-ups on the sidewalk. And these people just looked ridiculous out there protesting, and they had signs that said, "We are essential." Really? Are you essential in the gym? You can be essential on the sidewalk if you really feel that way. If you're a bodybuilder or if you are a trainer, take your client for a run. Have them do some squats outside. It was just like the epitome of stupidity as I'm watching these people do squats outside. I thought, well,
I saw the helicopter video.
Oh, my God.
And I noticed they were not physical distancing. They were on top of each other. Nobody was wearing a mask. So, all right.
Not the sharpest tools in the shed down there. Yeah, crazy stuff.
Well, okay. Now listen to this. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
My George isn't clever enough to hatch a scheme like this.
You got that right.
What the hell does that mean?
That means whatever the hell you want it to mean.
You saying you want a piece of me?
I could drop you like a bag of dirt.
You want a piece of me? You got it!
Oh, man. We're going to miss Frank Costanza. Of course, George's mythical father, hot-headed father, Frank Costanza, played by Jerry Stiller, who just passed away at the age of 92. He made me laugh consistently.
Oh.
And he will be missed.
That was good.
Yep.
Just Festivus for the rest of us.
That's right.
Everything is so good. Everything. So our condolences, of course, go out to the whole Stiller family. We all know Ben Stiller. Jerry Stiller's wife was also famous. Just a hilarious comedic family. And thank you for all the laughs, Jerry Stiller. We definitely laughed along with you.
Your laughs will live on. No doubt about that.
Certainly will. When we return, the governor's press conference today at 2 o'clock. Sloan Martin took the notes. She'll give us the cheat sheet next on CCO.
Jordana, DJ Big Josephson producing today. Again, keeping Jordana out of trouble, which is a full-time gig. Hope your Monday is going well, and hope you're hanging in there and staying safe and going about your business. Today, Governor Walz did not attend, but there was a press conference, and here to kind of break it down for us and help us get our arms around some breaking news, what's new, what's important, what should we know, is Sloan Martin from the newsroom. Sloan, always good to have you here. You doing okay?
Yeah, you know, we are doing okay, Paul. There was, this was another day that Governor Walz was not on the Minnesota Department of Health update. And sometimes this makes me think that there's kind of something that's going to be coming up soon. Of course, we know that the extended stay-at-home order is going to be expiring a week from today on Monday the 18th. And I think we're all starting to wonder. So we get some lead time. I think we know that this announcement is going to be coming fairly soon about what that next step is going to be. So Health Commissioner Jan Malcolm says they're having active conversations right now. They're kind of in the stage of compiling the data. They're looking at what Minnesota's curve looks like, what that's going to mean for ICU capacity, hospitalizations. Do they feel like they have a confident hold on the state reserve for critical supplies? Also CDC guidance, of course. And then we also learned a little bit more today about this scenario 5, which popped up on the Minnesota Model 2.0, which was released weeks ago. It basically was added on at the end of April at the behest of Senator Michelle Benson. Did not show the best outcomes for extending the stay-at-home order through the end of May in terms of mortality and ICU. But we were told today by Stefan Gildemeister, the state health economist, that basically that data is already outdated. We should be having 3.0, the most updated modeling, pretty soon, hopefully by this week.
And any word of that, if that updated modeling is going to be more positive?
We don't know yet, because this is one of those things where the more data you have, the more accurate it's going to be. So, of course, this 3.0 is going to be a lot different than the 2.0. It's also going to be eliminating some of those previous scenarios that we had. Governor Walz had said previously that he would love to get to what was previously called Scenario 3, which was a long-term stay at home for the most vulnerable. I don't know if we're there yet, but it seems like officials are still focused on pushing that curve, that peak out as far as possible to make sure we're as prepared to handle that as much as possible. I mean, it could be late June into July, depending on what that next step is. So we don't know what those numbers say. It's being vetted right now. It was in the process of being peer reviewed, which is why it is even a little bit later than what Commissioner Malcolm had teased we'd be able to see it by. So still being vetted at this time, but we have more time and more data points to input to hopefully get a more accurate picture.
My understanding, Sloan, is that there's a direct correlation between mobility and mortality. The more of us that are moving around, interacting with other people, the faster this infection will spread. And based on that University of Washington model that the administration has been looking at, among other models, they're now predicting 137,000 Americans losing their lives by late summer. And in Minnesota, the projection is 2,073 deaths as early as, well, July the 1st. My question to you is, what's happening with remdesivir, which is really what, the only drug that is now approved to be able to alleviate some of the symptoms? It shortens the symptoms, allows people to recover faster. Are Minnesota hospitals getting remdesivir?
Yes, so far Minnesota has had its first initial small shipment that came this weekend, and Minnesota Health Department officials were working on distributing that Saturday night into Sunday morning. It's going to be used on people who are hospitalized with the most severe cases. And this was basically approved by the FDA on an emergency basis because there really are no other therapeutics that are out there. There's certainly no vaccine that is out there. So this was something that showed promise in a study to shorten that length to recovery. So from 15 days to 11 days, about 30%. So that's obviously going to, you know, hopefully get people back out and healthy out of the hospital, but also, you know, thinking about that hospital capacity, wanting to get people out more quickly and get them recovered and released from isolation. So far they have gotten 1,200 vials. It's done intravenously. Basically they are waiting for another 400 vials. That should be coming tomorrow. Some patients will be on a 10-day course. That's 11 vials per patient. Some are on a 5-day course. That's 6 vials per patient. So this next shipment is going to help about 36 patients. So they're being very selective in what's going to have the best outcome for as many patients as possible who are hospitalized right now.
Okay. Sloan, I don't know if this was brought up today, but I know my kids are asking me about summer now that summer camp has been canceled. And we've heard that public beaches, public pools are all still closed. And they said to me, does that mean we can't go to the beach? And I was like, that's a good question, because we like to go hang out, you know, at our urban beaches here. Do you know anything about that? Is there going to be people shooing people away from public beaches? Obviously, public pools can't be a thing. But what about the public beaches?
That's hopefully something we'll be able to talk to Governor Walz about, because, and this is something they've talked about, where there's so many individual facets to look at, where golf has, you know, I think been pretty successful. My husband went out and was telling me about it and how everything was done just to a T in this plan to keep people separated, individual carts, things like that. But we've heard them talk about wanting to keep parks, for example, less crowded, even with people walking on the trails around Bidet-Makoska or Lake Harriet. There are going to be problems just anywhere, Jordana, where you have too big of crowds, where people are gathering at just too high of a rate. So we'll see what happens when it comes to summer. But I think we're all curious about what does a post-stay-at-home order Minnesota look like? And maybe we'll find out this week.
Sloan Martin, always appreciate you coming on. Thank you for keeping us up to date.
Well done, Sloan. Thank you very much. When we come back, Dr. Lori Watson helps us with coping skills. That's next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.